So the next topic will be the life of our Lord on earth, starting with the incarnation. So you are not able to, now you have got rid of the sin, you have left behind sin and attachments to this world and to your will and to your vices. You have cleansed yourself, now you are fit to walk on the path. The path of our Lord, it's not yet heaven. So you are ready now to receive the lights, wisdom, and understanding, science, knowledge about our Lord's way to heaven. So I brought with me a wallet of solitude because I want you to, you and all those who will hear these conferences, to deepen into the mystery of this life, walking on the footsteps of our Lord and our Lady, in the context of the crisis, as we have been saying, is our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary, in her solitude. It's the context of the crisis of today. You know, Brother César de Dios point me out this reality. He told me, please tell my brothers in Philippines that our little solitude image is set by God to be able to enter into her sentiments. It's true. It's true. Very few words, but he's contemplative, so he knows exactly. He gave on the nail of what is the importance of our little solitude. She represents the sentiments of Our Lady in this very moment of the crisis of the church, in this context of the crisis of the what is going on in the world. And he said, Our Lady never recovered from this. While we are sinning, while sin exists, she will be suffering solitude. So we cannot forget that. Even if you notice in the step number 3 of the solitude that we just read in the chapel, this step, which is the burial of our Lord, is linked to the incarnation. It's very deep, so I will explain to you, because our Lord's path on earth that we have to follow begins with the incarnation. So the burial of our Lord precisely represents our baptism, the beginning of our journey on as Catholics on earth. And the novena says that precisely. The womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary is the house of God, the paradise of God, when God starts, our Lord Jesus Christ starts his journey on earth. And our association to the incarnation is precisely the day of our baptism, in which we are buried with our Lord in the sepulchre. So life itself has to die in his humanity, so that we may have divine life in Mary. This is the mystery. We start the day of our baptism. We start divine life, sanctifying grace, in Mary, because she's the mediator of all graces. That is the reason why, as soon as we are baptized, that day we are consecrated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Implicitly, explicitly. We make explicitly by the act of consecration of the baby, of the newly baptized. But as a matter of fact, we enter into the life of God in Mary. Just think about that. You have just do your general confession. You have left your past sins on the grave, because our Lord died for that reason. Now you are having a new life in Christ, so as to never come back to the sepulchre of death, of dying. You had died to this world. It was Saint Paul says. He said, "You have to consider yourself dead to the world, and the world dead for you are dead to the world, and the world is dead to you." And also, you notice Saint Louis de Montfort, when speaking about true devotion to Mary, he points out that we must live in Mary. One of the things that he says. So Catholic on earth, the Catholics, the children of Mary, must live in Mary. To live the life of God in Mary. 24/7. In such a way that he said, we must breathe Mary as we breathe the air. This is devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary and her solitude. Because we are enclosed to Mary, but we cannot ignore that she's undergoing solitude, deep sorrows for our sins, the sins of mankind, at Mass. Because there is Mass every day. So you start a new life, but in Mary, along with her sorrows, especially her solitude. So we have to associate now, in the context of this crisis, our new journey to heaven through Our Lady of Solitude, being in her presence. I always have been willing to, eager to preach a retreat on Our Lady of Solitude. I mean, this is the moment to include it. It's very important because people doesn't know how to walk on earth the gospel. They don't know the will of God exactly for them, and they don't know exactly what are the sentiments of our Lord, of Our Lady, as we have to follow to perfectly walk in their likeness. Because remember, our consecration to Mary and our Lord means what we were reading in the steps, in the fourth step, that where St. Paul says, we live, but not we anymore, but God, our Lord, lives in us. So the idea of the consecration of our Lord's dying upon us, for us, and to the purpose of giving us his divine life, is that our Lord himself is going to take over our life. So he will repeat his life in us. This is the present was Salut de Montfort says, the end of the consecration to Mary is that she will live in us again on earth. That we disappear and she appears instead of us. So a baby who is in cloistering to his mother's womb is our consecration to Mary. Means the one who faces the world is Mary. The one who receives the blows is Mary. The one who gives graces from the outside, from God to us, is Mary. And when the baby inside the womb starts speaking or praying with her, she is the one who delivers that message to God. So in fact, the perfection of the consecration to Mary is that she is going to live in us, or rather, we live in her. We live in her. It's what says St. Augustine. In communion, we receive our Lord in our soul, in our body. But he says, rather, we enter into his heart, into his body, into his soul, into his life. Because, of course, the greater absorbs the lesser. When God is God, we are creatures. He absorbs, as we really what is happening in our communion is, we enter into the most sacred heart of Jesus, into his blood, his life, his body, his soul, his divinity, his life, or the most holy Trinity. Very deep, all these mysteries are very deep. This is why St. Ignatius starts with the incarnation. Incarnation is the life of God. So remember, it's that our Lord life on earth is to be imitated and contemplated as if we were the mystical body. So our Lord is incarnated along with us in our journey to heaven. So I want you to reflect upon those and to ask. Es que remember, before we pray, we must. So you should be writing down this also, because bueno, this is the method. When we pray, we place ourselves in the presence of God. We do an act of adoration. So we put ourselves in the presence of God. We do an act of adoration, an act of humility. We ask the grace. And we start praying. That should be the process. Each time we pray, the rosary, morning prayers, night prayers, meditations. Even each time we want to do something for God, a charity work, or before we want to speak with someone. Why? Because remember, we are walking here by grace, not in a human way. In order to keep living in a divine way, God in us, we and God in us, we need grace, we need His assistance. Therefore, we have to do this each time as a habit. Remember, to place yourself in the presence of God, to adore Him, to do an act of humility, to ask the grace to do what you are going to do, what you are going to say, and after you start. To start prayer without this process is to tempt God, because we will be with the presumption that we can pray without first asking the grace, without first doing that humility and adoration and in the presence of God. This is very basic. These kind of things are not taught anymore by the priest. It's a mistake. We are obliged to do this process every moment. And this is in the rule of St. Benedict. So our Holy Father St. Benedict wants silence. He wants us to adore God in all things, in all people, all the time. He said, consider the objects that you have, treat them as if they were sacred vessels of the altar, he says. So we see, we are in the presence of God with silence. We respect as something that belongs to God, something sacred in different degrees sacred. So we respect, we adore God in person, in things, because God is somehow there with His will, with His presence. And this is the way of being humble in the contact with real things, with persons, with people, with circumstances, with divine providence. And therefore, St. Benedict says, in that environment, you ask the grace constantly to speak, to act, to work before you start. This is basic. This is very important. Now you start walking. So in fact, St. Ignatius treats us as a babies, as you were children of First Communion. So already you are clean for your first confession. You did a great confession. Okay. Now you are going to prepare for communion, basically, to love God. You are going to learn again to love God, to walk His footsteps. And so remember, this is before your meditation, it's always this process of preparing yourself, disposing yourself. So as St. Ignatius proposes in this meditation, that we contemplate the Most Holy Trinity. The Most Holy Trinity before the Incarnation. Looking upon the world, which is full of men, how they are going to hell, many of them, the majority, God seeing the necessity, yes, of the incarnation. So God very sad seeing how man chooses creatures before and not himself and not God. And he proposes also that we contemplate ourselves together with the Most Holy Trinity in the whole world, the house of Nazareth, the how man is far from God. We contemplate what they are doing, what people is doing before the incarnation. How they are doing things, what they say. And then to see Our Lady and Saint Gabriel, the Archangel, appearing. So, and to contemplate Our Lady answering to the angel, no? And that starts the journey of our Lord on earth. Along with us in this moment that you are just going to confession. So basically, you have to contemplate the Blessed Virgin Mary receiving our Lord in her womb, incarnation, and you also. And the key, the importance is that you have to enter into the sentiments of Mary. It's the most important. It's a grace you have to ask. And when you receive communion tomorrow, you simulate the incarnation also for your communion. What means Saint Luke Montfort explains? He says, think that our Lord is going to be united to Our Lady at the day of the incarnation through your communion. So our Lord is going to consolate Mary. Mary is going to consolate Jesus Christ. Both will be united inside of you, your soul, your body. You will be like the cave of Bethlehem, where they join together. You will be like the donkey, like the horse in the cave, you know, in the crib, contemplating our Lord, our Lady, in your own house, the cave, you know. And you have to translate that meditation to this moment, this very moment. So, you are weak, you are spiritually poor, spiritually inclined to evil, in a great need of protection, great need of help, great need of wisdom, of piety, of the fear of the Lord, of fortitude. So you want to enter with our Lord into Mary's womb as the incarnation, you are invited to join our Lord in the Blessed Virgin Mary's womb. It's the way you start your new life in this retreat, during this retreat. But you will not stop there. You have to understand that meditation that our Lord is asking you to console and repair and follow the nine steps of Our Lady of Solitude. Like Saint John the Evangelist. So the old man has been buried today at confession with the value and the cost of the most precious blood. So Our Lady has to contemplate that cruel event caused by our sins. We were the culpable that our Lord was buried. Our sins killed life, the life of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now Our Lady is in sorrowing, still sorrowing, and you have perfect contrition. As we said in the conference, you have just gone to confession, but your sorrow is still there. It's a very important principle. Your sorrow should never disappear while you are on earth. Never. It's a grace, and has to be asked for its grace and to kept as a great treasure every day of your life. Perfect contrition. Because you want to sorrow that event, that because your sins, our Lord has to be buried, has to die and be buried. And the one who took you that moment so you may have life was our Lady. Because our Lord, yes, in his humanity died, but our Lord was in the heart of Mary, because she had some different grace. So our Lady was the whole time was the paradise of God. So the only place of consolation for our Lord was the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So you are born again because you receive some different grace for your confession, in your confession. But the only refuge is the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Precisely tomorrow, the feast. So, many saints, including Saint Bernard, says that our journey on earth is like the 9 months in the womb of Mary. So when we die, it's like we being born to everlasting life. So we're being carried by Our Lady in her womb, in her paradise. We are born when we die. Of course, we have to die as a saint. But if we keep living in the womb of Mary, means that we are born to live like saints, protected by Our Lady from sins, because she's immaculate after confession. Therefore, when we die, it's Our Lady giving us birth to heaven. She will bring us directly to heaven, to our Lord's judgment. Imagine Our Lady presenting you for the particular judgment. Said, he was with me, he thought about me, he spoke about me, he was living in me, he was serving me full time, he was in perfect contrition, so he was cleansed every day by me, by you, by your blood. So he doesn't need judgment because he's clean. So the saints, like the saints, go straight to heaven. It's why we have to follow the retreat in this context, especially in Philippines. Our little solitude is should be the greatest of all your treasures. From the very foundation of Philippines, no, Our Lady of Cavite, being the most powerful avocation. Being protecting the Philippines for all these things that have happened in those centuries. And so from there, so you will jump to the next mystery, no? Which is Our Lady's visitation. A second joyful mystery. So you will contemplate how the Blessed Virgin Mary and you in her, together with our Lord, because you are in the paradise of God by your consecration to Mary, by your fidelity. It's why you have to be fidel, especially fidelity. Because if we choose to do something else instead of serving Mary, will be a sin, and we will be leaving Mary's bosom, Mary's womb, and we are without grace in that moment, without protection, and easy prey to the devil. This is a confirmation of what I have been telling you in the last conference. Everything depends upon our fidelity, our dispositions, humility and purity, and adoring God, being humble and being well disposed, being faithful. Because we don't want to go out of Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary's protection. It's why we have to prefer to die
than to leave Mary's womb. We're speaking about the childhood, the spiritual childhood. Eh? Remember the St. Pius X praise St. Teresa Child Jesus and the spiritual childhood, because it's the spirituality, to be dependent upon Mary 24/7 as a child, as a little baby in the womb, totally dependent upon Mary. Again, to breathe Mary as you breathe the air. At that degree, we have to, be the devotion to Mary, complete. Now is the occasion to do it. And tomorrow will be the great high mass, and will be the occasion to be belong to the Blessed Virgin Mary completely. Yes, to renew your consecration to Mary. And for those who will be professing, as an oblate also, to give yourself to Mary by the answers and Benedict, to be placed on the wound of Mary, to be taken care by Mary. And Saint Benedict watching upon you also. So you contemplate the second joyful mystery, how you are going to deal from now on with your families, with your neighbors, how you are going to deal with your family, with the enemy even. Because the Blessed Virgin Mary is going to carry you wherever you go, wherever you speak. And you must let the Blessed Virgin Mary speak, act, and to bless and to take over your life so that she will act and speak to your family instead of you doing it. This is the aim. It's fraternal charity. So the second joyful mystery is the perfection of fraternal charity. Our Lord and Our Lady comes to sanctify St. John the Baptist. So from the very womb, exactly what you are doing now, God is sanctifying you in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. As God is sanctifying St. John the Baptist in the womb of St. Elizabeth, so also you through Mary and Mary through you is how your family will be sanctified. Don't forget about that. Anyone who sees you should see Mary and Joseph and Saint John Evangelist Jesus. And anytime you see someone or you encounter someone, you have to see Mary in them, to treat them as Mary will treat them. This is the commandment of Jesus. Each time, whatever you do to the others, to the little of my children, you do it to me. Means that through the eyes of Mary and the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we treat the others as if were Jesus. The way the Blessed Virgin Mary will treat Jesus, we treat men in Mary and through Mary. This is in your new life. And you have to contemplate these realities when you pray the Rosary. So she will take over your life and to make you practice this fraternal charity towards the others. Perfectly. Just remember what I told you at the beginning. Constantly you have to be in silence, interiorly at least, interiorly silence, adoring God, doing acts of humility, and asking the grace to speak it to act. Renewing from your heart your consecration to Mary. The formula I suggest, is something very short, has indulgences, which was made by St. Pius X, which is Mary, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I give to thee my soul and my heart. No? I give unto thee my soul and my heart. It's to renew our consecration, very short, with short words. Or it can be with your own words. No? For example, Mary, Jesus, and Joseph, I belong to you. Very simple. Keep it simple. I think one of the problems of modern men, modern Catholics, traditional Catholics, is complicated, too complicated. So, yes, we are too complicated. You see, we are speaking about the spiritual childhood. You just are allowing the Blessed Virgin Mary to take over your life, over your mind, to take over your tongue, to take over your feet, to walk only wherever she wants, by obedience, and to your heart, that you will be taking over your heart. You will know have affections to anyone who God doesn't want you to have affections. You will know love, but only what God loves and wants you to love and Mary. For the rest, you will be fixed, your eyes, your heart in Mary. It's what she said, think in me that I will think in you. So our worries, our future, our jobs, our family, this is the Blessed Virgin Mary's job from now on. You take care of her things, she will take care of your own things. That takes faith and hope and charity. It is obvious. It should be obvious for someone who has the faith and love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. You have given yourself to her, means that you have to dedicate yourself to her and her intentions, her intentions of prayers, and she will dedicate herself to yours. So you will not be worried about poverty and persecution and justice. No. Your only worry will be to love and to serve the Blessed Virgin Mary. To know, to love, and to serve the Blessed Virgin Mary. And by doing that, you will be loving, knowing, and serving more perfectly our Lord Jesus Christ. So, and lastly, we see we meditate upon the Nativity. So we saw that Our Lady wants to give birth to us in heaven, because God doesn't want us to live in a purely human way. He doesn't want us to follow our own will on earth, but the will of God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We say in the Our Father. And Saint Benedict says, you must hate your own will. Therefore, our will has to be fixed in Mary's and our Lord Jesus Christ. To be born in heaven after doing their will. Obedience. Humility in practice is obedience. It's called obedience. When you practice humility, it's called obedience, to practice humility. Humility in practice is obedience. So it means that the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ means that we have to be little. And if you study the science, they will tell you that on those 9 months, the child Jesus communicated with the Blessed Virgin Mary. They communicate. Each other were communicating. There was a yes. They knew each other. They communicate each other. No? And Our Lady loved her. Our Lord loved Our Lady in the very womb. But of course, in the Nativity, we should meditate the state God wants us to be. What is the perfect state in this life? Is the Nativity. Our Lord was born poor, that we be happy if being poor. Our Lord was born at night. Yes, to be happy to be hidden. To be born, to be in this life without being loved, without being seen, without being
considerate. Our Lord wanted to suffer the cold. No windows, no doors on the crypt, on the cave. No? The same, you don't expect from the world nothing. Not even a house. Not even shelter. Not even consolations. It's a purpose. Eh? The nativity of our Lord on Bethlehem is it's a great purpose to teach us that if the head wanted to start his life on earth like that, we must be willing to do the same. Because our focus is spiritual, leaving to God the decision about the material things, the material needs, the human needs of men. There's no windows, there's no doors in the cave. There is no health care, no doctors, no food. There is no coffee there, neither. It's a problem there also. So it's not wealthy visitors to be mentors, to be administrators, or to be helping as a second option, you know, in case something is going very bad, very difficult. No, there is not. No rich people there to help. And only shepherds singing. And you have to understand the shepherds on that day. On those times, shepherds, they said that were the people were ignorant. They didn't know how to read and to. They didn't have studies. They will sleep over the fields with the sheep, maybe with a sleeping bag, something to cover, blanket or something. But they will be filthy the whole time. They will not take shower for months, those shepherds. They will not change clothing. You just go to the rivers and something, scrub a little bit, and that's it. So they were despised. That was the lowest class, the lowest, humanly speaking was the lowest in the rank of society. Will be something like the beggars in Manila City. They don't homeless. They sleep under the bridge with a blanket. They cannot take showers, and they ask for alms, and they are despised. It's equivalent to the shepherds. So our Lord wanted to be surrounded by these people. No learned, no wise people. It's for us. We look for famous and healthy, handsome people many often. No, we don't care about that. We don't care about that, neither. So it's a lot of teachings there. But the most important is that by living next to the Blessed Virgin Mary, especially in her sorrows, we want to enter into her sentiments. It's the most important, to enter into the sentiments of the Blessed Virgin Mary. In order to be able to help her, to serve her. Because you know her sentiments, you know what she needs. She needs a consolation, she needs reparation, she needs help to save souls, to pray for the souls in purgatory. She needs sacrifices. She needs our commitment. She needs our time, our skills, our fraternal charity. So we'll start forgetting the rest. So we'll be the action of the Holy Ghost. Maximilian Kolbe, is one of those who reached a very high degree of devotion to Mary. And he said a principle, you should write that principle of Maximilian Kolbe. He says, devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary is obtained 80% on our knees. On our knees. So praying, while we pray, knees. We acquire devotion to Mary, knowledge and love for Mary on our knees, 80%. 20% will be by books and theology and sermons, and yes, and what we know. So it means that the Holy Ghost is the only one who is going to give us the real devotion. Why? Because each time we love Mary means that God is loving Mary in us. So it's impossible to love Mary without God participating in that moment. It's impossible. Because God loved Mary above all creatures. Therefore, each time Mary is loved, God is there loving through us. So the cause of our love for Mary is God. So this is why the reason why we grow in the love of Mary only through the Holy Ghost and prayer. Many rosaries. This is what Fatima says. The last remedy God gives to the world is devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, to the Immaculate Heart, her disposition of Mary, her beautiful heart, her love being served, accompanied with the Holy Rosary. So we, like child Jesus, like another Christians, little child Jesus, behaving like Jesus towards Mary. Jesus in us, and we like Jesus, consoling, living in Mary, repairing Mary, praying to Mary, Jesus in us, with us. So this is your new life. It's easier and the quicker for holiness, and this is the request of Our Lady of Fatima, in Fatima, and our Lord Himself. Now you are going to understand why we have sacraments in the measure God likes, God wants. We don't want to demand more sacraments than what God wants. Because the most important is to be with Mary, to love Mary, to serve Mary, to focus on Mary, who is the mediatrix of all graces. Because we belong to her, we think in her, she will think in us. She's not cruel. She will give to us what we need to go to heaven, straight to heaven even. To be great saints. So, seek after God's justice and seek after God's kingdom and His justice, which is the Blessed Virgin Mary, the queenship, and the holiness of God is Mary on earth for us. Seek after Mary, and the rest will be given unto you, including the sacraments. In the measure, in the amount, in the quality God wants, He decides. But you just follow Mary, for the rest is God's duty. So we worry the God's part. We have to worry about God's part that He promised to us. We are not worrying about the essential thing that we promised, which is to belong to Mary and to be at the service of Mary. We did it in the day of our consecration. We did it. So we promise to belong to her completely. So the rest, leave it to her. The rest. Your children, your future, your health, even your sins, your purgatory even. Even what you are going to say, what you are going to speak, how you are going to pray, how you are going to endure, what the cross, how you are going to carry your cross, how you are going to carry the cross of everybody else, because you have many, many people you want to be saved, is going to be given to you. Yes. Just follow Mary, stay with Mary, console Mary in her solitude. It is prayer request. It's the greatest. I finish with it. It's the greatest secret in the message of Fatima. Prepare the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and I give you heaven. I will not request it 5 Saturdays only, just to tell us how much she loves this activity. We will not do it 5 Saturdays. We will be too cruel, no? We will do it every minute to repair and to console and to be with Mary in her solitude. Suffering and carrying her cross. That means to carry her cross. Whoever even imagined among the saints that we will be able one day to be able to carry the cross of Mary. What a privilege. That thought was No, didn't pass through the mind of the saints because was not yet revealed the message of Fatima. Console the heart of Mary means the act of mercy, the work of mercy of consoling those who are sad, which is to carry their cross as our neighbor, to relieve their grief. And we are doing that, carrying the cross of Mary. So what a privilege. We are serving Mary by carrying her cross. It's amazingly beautiful. So we don't need nothing else, I tell you. So if you really think that you need something else than Mary's cross and Mary's devotion and rosary, you are off track completely, which is most of the Catholics. They're worried for things that they should not be worried. It's in God's hands, everything else. We just worry for Mary and to repair and to accompany her. So we ask these graces today and tomorrow at Mass, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Very providential. So we stop here.